We have to ask, oh God, what are we then to do? First, in sincere brokenness, repent. Go to God and ask Him to deal with us severely in this matter of our tongue, it causing hurt and unrest and heartache and grief. Next, if you have wounded others with your tongue, maybe over a period of months or years, following repentance, you will likely need to begin speaking words that heal. This is a long process. Usually it didn't happen overnight, and it may not be resolved overnight. In his book, War of Words, Getting to the Heart of Your Communication Struggles, Paul David Tripp teaches us how the gospel transforms the way we communicate, and he offers 6 helpful points as we battle the unbridled tongue. I've got a printout of these up here on the first pew. I've just taken just a few excerpts of these 6 for us to look through this morning, just to help us try to understand. If we understand the severity of this issue, then what do we need to do in light of that? Winning the war of words involves recognizing the destructive power of words. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul warns us, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. God has ordained us to be people of influence. Think about it. A husband influences a wife. A wife influences a husband. Parents influence children. Friends influence other friends. My language about quilting is pretty vast for someone that's never done it. Why? I live with a person that does that. I know about those words and color schemes and patterns. There's no reason for me to know that. I don't do it. I've just been influenced by that. It is never okay to communicate in ways that contradict His message, method, and character. Again, God says we will give an account of every careless word. Second, winning the war means affirming our freedom in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Self-indulgent, sin-indulgent talk contradicts our identity as the children of grace. It turns us back toward the very bondage from which we have been freed. It forgets the poison we have been given by Christ and the power He has given us by His Spirit. Third, Paul David Tripp defines winning the war means saying no to the sinful nature. Galatians chapter 5, 13 and verse 24. In exhorting us not to indulge in the sinful nature, Paul summarizes a powerful gospel reality. And we do not want to miss this. He says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. The master of my sinful nature over me has been forever broken in Christ. Still present? Yes. Still powerful? It depends on who I'm feeding. If I'm feeding the spiritual man in me, that will rise up and give me strength by the help of God. If I'm lax in doing that, if I'm not praying constantly, if I'm not in the Word, if I'm not refreshing my heart and mind in memorizing the Word, that I may not sin against Him, well, you know what the outcome's going to be. We will strike back at those who are meant to serve in order to satisfy ourselves. The very people we are to serve, we wound. Self-indulgent talk never accomplishes God's purpose. 4, winning the war of words means speaking to serve others in love. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. We are called to put off the self-indulgent talk, to put on that flows out of love for others. The picture here And this passage is of a God who relentlessly is at work by his Spirit, conforming his people to the image of his Son. Fifth, winning the war of words means speaking in step with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Keeping in step with the Spirit means speaking in a way that reflects his work in me and encourages his work and you. Speaking in step with the Spirit not only means speaking in a way that reflects what the Spirit is doing in me, but also encouraging the Spirit's fruit in you. Winning the war of words, the battle. The sixth point. To move to this pulpit mic. Winning the war means speaking with a goal to restore. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Brothers, if some is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore him gently." Winning the war of words means speaking redemptively, and speaking redemptively is rooted in a restoration of a relationship, not the condemnation of it. The purpose of human relationships is not human happiness. The purpose of human relationships is the work of reconciling people to God and restoring them to the image of his Son. So this morning we see that the tongue defiles. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and here in James, the beginning of chapter 3, the tongue defiles and it shows the defilement of the heart. We see that the tongue defies. It defies every human attempt to control. New Year's resolutions aren't going to work here. It's got to be the power of God and us denying ourselves. The tongue displays. It displays what we really are. We go out to eat. Will the person that serves at our table, will they be able to understand that you are a gracious child of God? When I get home this afternoon, will my wife understand that I am a gracious child of God? Not because of what God has said and declared me to be, but what I'm demonstrating with my own tongue. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ in saving faith, there is no way your tongue can really be brought under control. You must submit yourself to the Lord. Repent of your sin and submit to Him and trust in Him. And His Spirit will do a divine work in your life. If you're here this morning and you do know Christ, your speech can only flow out of a heart of love when God's Spirit is in control of your life. We must remain in a relentless battle to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow Him. As we sang earlier, get in the fire. Whew. That's where it's purifying. That's where the fruit of the Spirit are most easily identified. Once again, James has led us through a difficult test of faith. I pray that our reality of this situation is clearer. And I pray that our focus and dedication and commitment is strengthened. And I pray that we have been encouraged by some ways that we can combat this beginning today. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for your Spirit that resides in us, that calls us to a new and holy life. Father, I pray that as for many of us, this passage in James has rendered us unholy, feeling unworthy. I pray that we will practice the gospel, that we will be quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to humble ourselves before you. Father, let us not dismiss and excuse this behavior. Help us to be encouraging one to another. Help us to be relentless in our pursuit of holy speech. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Josh is going to lead us a song and just thinking through what we've heard. Maybe you need to recommit some things. Repent. When we're finished, I'll ask Barry to come and close our service for us.
Christ, the sure and steady anchor in the fury of the storm. When the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn. In the suffering, in the sorrow, when my sinking hopes are few, I will hold fast to the anchor which shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on, when temptation claims the battle and it seems the night has won, deeper still then goes the anchor. Though I justly stand accused, I will hold fast to the anchor that shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor through the floods of unbelief. Hopeless somehow, oh my soul, now lift your eyes to Calvary. This my ballast of assurance, see his love forever proved. I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, as we face the wave of death, when these trials give way to glory, as we draw our final breath, we will cross that great horizon, clouds behind and life secure, and the calm will be the better for the storms that we endure.
Remind you this evening at 6, biblical hospitality, being a great host. We want to plan for those who come among us and welcome them as Christ has welcomed us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the very first song we sang today in our worship service was, we heard the words over and over again say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, there's not enough time in the day that we could repeat those words. Yesterday, Father, I believe that we have indeed been blessed. We've heard your word. We've seen your word displayed in our Bible study. We've heard it displayed and heard in the prayers that have been voiced today. We've seen and heard your word sung today. And Father, finally, we have seen and heard your word preached today for our ears. Yes, we've been blessed. And Father, as Jesus himself submitted himself fully to the Father, he did not speak a word without the Father's blessing. Father, help us. Give us the strength, the courage to heed those words. And think, what shall I say? Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.